invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us for guidance, for comfort, for strength. But why? Why do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Why do I believe in the Holy Spirit? Well, this morning we professed our faith as found in the Nicene Creed. In it we say quite a bit about the Holy Spirit and our belief. Now, there is little said of the Holy Spirit in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, period. End of discussion in that creed. Other of the creeds talk about the Holy Spirit working in us and in others. The divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the divine presence of Christ. And we find strength and help through the power of the Holy Spirit in time of need. We read in other creeds that the Holy Spirit is the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and of the Son, and who with the Father and the Son are to be worshipped and glorified, who is spoken through the prophets. The creeds of our faith tell us why we believe in the Holy Spirit. In Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Later in Genesis, we read, when men began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them that they chose. And then the Lord said, "My Spirit will not contend with man forever." In Numbers, the Lord said to Moses, "Bring 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Now I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the Spirit that is on you and put the Spirit on them. Then they will be able to carry the burden of the people with you, so that you will not have to carry it alone." In Acts, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. Later in Acts, we read that after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. I believe in the Holy Spirit because the Bible tells me so. I was a little bit frustrated this week as I tried to discern what God wanted me to say about the Holy Spirit. I couldn't just start writing and describing the Holy Spirit like I did the last 2 weeks, talking about God and Jesus. I think most Protestant faiths, certainly we Methodists, don't include the Holy Spirit in our religion as much as we could or should. But yet, as I sat down and thought about it, it is the Holy Spirit that is my living God, that is my living Jesus, my living faith. The Holy Spirit is the part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that is really with me, that is really the living conscience of my faith. It is the Holy Spirit that God let loose to hover over the waters of creation. It is the Holy Spirit that Jesus referred to sending as our comforter. It is the Holy Spirit that lives with us now, creating sense out of chaos and God incidents out of seemingly random acts. Of all the articles in the creeds, the one about the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost is the least understood by church people. And it's certainly the least understood by the man or woman outside the church. In our secular lives, when one speaks about school spirit or the spirit of fellowship, we're usually understood. But when one speaks of the Holy Spirit, communication breaks down. And yet the Holy Spirit is constantly with us, supporting us, strengthening us, guiding us, and such a conviction is fundamental to the sound and basic Christian faith. Perhaps one reason so many people don't recognize the Holy Spirit is that it speaks chiefly of Christ and not about himself. Also, God created us in his image. We can understand that. We can think in terms of a person. Jesus was a person who walked on the earth. We can get our arms around that. But since childhood, as I shared with a few young people there, we are told that there is no such thing as ghosts or spirits. And so it's harder to get our arms around God, the Holy Spirit. And yet we all know that it is through the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, as the old writers put it, the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, that we can read the Scriptures with eyes open and see God's mighty hand at work. And it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that the sacraments of the church are administered. The sacraments are no mere rites and ceremonies. The working of the Holy Spirit makes them significant, dynamic, life-giving actions of the body of Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit because it is known to me in the pressure of love and charity that's in our hearts, impelling us to be helpful, friendly, kind, honest in all our dealings with our fellow human beings. Oh, I've felt that pressure many times. I specifically remember feeling that pressure of the Holy Spirit one night as I was going home in a previous appointment. It had been a long, long day, and I was tired. It had been a day full of writing and praying and reading and meetings and planning and visiting. And as I drove past the hospital on my way home, I suddenly felt that pressure inside of me that I should go up to see one of our parishioners that was still there. I was just there yesterday. Let me go home. But the pressure would not let up. It got stronger and stronger. And as I went by the hospital, it was like he was tugging me even harder and harder, a physical presence. And the further I got away from the hospital, the more the pressure there was, until finally I stopped the car and just shouted, "All right, I'll go. But then can I go home?" So I drove back to the hospital and I stopped the car and I got out. I shut the door and there was that pressure again that said, "Take your communion set with you." All right. So I took my portable communion kit with me and went to see Paul. And we talked for a while. And pretty soon I asked him, "Paul, would you like to share in receiving communion with me?" And he looked at me with a big smile and glassy eyes, and he said, "I sure would." And so we shared communion, experiencing a means of grace, receiving God's grace. And I left and went home. The next morning, I got a call that Paul had died that night. I believe in the Holy Spirit because I have experienced that pressure in my heart, impelling me to do something for someone that I just didn't really want to do at the time. Do you remember that commercial that's on television a while ago? Every once in a while it comes back. I don't know what it's selling. But it went something like this. A picture of a pretty red sports car shows up, and we hear, "We don't make the car red. We make the red more red." Or a pillow shows up on the screen with words like, "We don't make the pillow. We just make the pillow soft." Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does. It teaches our reason, right reason, to set our reason in the right track so that we can use it for high purpose of discerning between good and evil, between precious and vile. The Holy Spirit does not give a person a will, for we have a will before. But He makes that will that was in bondage to Satan free to serve God. The Holy Spirit gives no one the power to think or the organ of belief, for we have the power to believe or think as far as the mental act is concerned, but the Holy Spirit gives the belief, which is already there, a tendency to believe the right thing. And He gives to the power of thought the propensity to think in the right way, so that instead of thinking irregularly, we begin to think as God would have us think, and our mind desires to walk in the steps of God's revealed truth. In the Gospel of John, we're reminded, "If you love me, you will obey what I have commanded. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. You know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." Well, have you ever stopped to think how sweet it must have been to live with Jesus? Surely the sorrows then were but joys in masks. When He was on earth, He must have been the consolation of all those who were privileged to be His companions. We can imagine how readily the disciples would run to Jesus to tell Him of their griefs, and how sweetly, with that matchless intonation of His voice, He would speak to them and command their fears be gone. Well, but even had we lived then, we might not have been able to get to Jesus. So few people actually were close enough to touch Him. And He only lived some 33 years at that. But as He prepared His disciples for His death, He told them, "It is right that I should go away from you. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come." Jesus must go. "Weep, ye disciples." Jesus must be gone. "Mourn, ye poor ones." But hear what kind words Jesus speaks. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will pray to the Father, and He will send to you another Comforter who will be with you and will dwell in you forever. A Comforter who will be just what I have been and even more. One who will console you in your sorrows, remove your doubts, comfort you in your afflictions, and stand as my priest on earth, so that you can do that which I have done and I would have done had I remained with you." I believe in the Holy Spirit because I believe in Jesus. And Jesus told me that He and the Father would send me the Holy Spirit to be with us. To believe in the Holy Spirit is to believe in God in us, actualizing and realizing what has been done for us through Jesus Christ. When you look at the cross, and tears roll down your cheek. Because you know. You know without a doubt what Jesus did for you. Then you believe in the Holy Spirit because it is He who brought that to your remembrance. A member of a previous church gave me, gave to Donna, a jar of homemade jelly. Now, few delicacies in life compared with Aunt Lance's homemade jellies. And should I someday face a firing squad, I'll pass on the cigarette. But I'll be the first one to perk up if Aunt Lance's homemade jellies are offered. Each spoonful is a wonderful experience. But, you know, the only problem with her gift was that it didn't last. With each jar of precious jelly, I too soon found the bottom of the jar in sight. I all too soon was shaking out the last drop like a lost cowboy shakes his canteen. But unlike the empty jar of jelly, we never have to run out of what Jesus gave us because we have that gift of the Holy Spirit within us. Those first, the 12, and those that followed felt that gift of the Holy Spirit was through Christ alone, and so do we. That gift indeed could have come at no other time and in no other way. The Spirit came through Christ. It was the same spirit of holiness and love that they had known in Jesus. And Jesus was to be present not as a person in one single place, but in spirit in the hearts of all of his followers. The conviction of the resurrection and the gift of the Holy Spirit were the two pillars upon which there rose that victorious early church with all of its faith and courage and love. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Do you? Enough to share your belief with others? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.